CHUM AM Toronto is TSN 1050, an iHeart radio station and the voice of Toronto sports. This is Overdrive on TSN 1050. I get up when I'm down,
had enough, almost drowned, wish, but I get up. Hour number two, Overdrive. Jim Tidy and Kristen Shilton subbing for Captain Hayes, O-Dog, and Noodles, who have some well-deserved time off. They needed it.
I think they did. They got to get revved up. There's an 82-game season coming
NHL. Nothing's faster than O-Dog heading for summer vacation.
No, nobody loves it more. Yeah. I was so happy I got to see those guys in person when we did Free Agent Frenzy the other week. It was the first time that I actually put eyes on any of them in real life.
In over a year, right?
About 18 months. So that was it was a nice send-off before everyone scattered. It was nice to see them in person.
Well, that's the other thing. The TSN parking lot after the Free Agent Frenzy.
I couldn't find a parking spot that day, though. I forgot that, like, what it's like when actual people are here. And it's just, it's very...
They didn't have the extra bus to bring you in.
I'm in the auxiliary parking lot. I was like, I'm not that high up to have a great parking spot. But I'm not James Duthie. I don't just pull in right next to the door and
He's got to get on. I mean, if he doesn't get on, nobody else does. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Leo Rotens, TSN Raptors and NBA analyst. Of course, Kyle moving to Miami. It's not worked out, but it's going to happen. And DeMar DeRozan apparently going to Chicago. So we'll get through all that. And really, the you waited for the draft to figure out which way the Raptors were going to go because it was talked they were going to move the pick. And when they didn't, they went, okay. And then you were stunned by who they picked. And then you saw the guy and you went, this is a nice fit. And then all of a sudden you go, okay, so they're going younger. Where does it leave Kyle? Well, he's gone. So the remaining question is, Masai, is he coming back? But everything else is sort of gone in the other direction of, instead of trying to tape things back together and take another run, it's like a reboot, and not maybe a rebuild, but they are going younger.
Yeah, it feels like the Raptors are somewhere between a reboot and a rebuild. Like, they're definitely going in a younger direction, but Fred VanVleet can kind of be that guy almost that Lowry's sort of passing the torch to here in Toronto and saying, you're committed here long term. You've been able to watch what Lowry does, how he manages the on-court, off-court dynamics, how he's that mentor. He keeps everybody on an even keel. He brings the energy. He can bring that fire, the passion. And that's what you need when you have young players, is you need a guy who is here committed to the franchise long haul, the way that Lowry has been. And kind of takes over as the face a little bit. And you've got Gary Trent Jr. and some other great players that are going to be here. But it's a different group. It's a different dynamic. And when it's younger players, they're going to have to find their legs, find where they fit. And then you find the style that works for you as a team. And they're fortunate to have a great coach in Nick Nurse, who, as we know him to be, gregarious guy. Players love him. Passionate, fiery at the same time. He wants to win, and there'll be that push, that drive for it. But so it's not a full-on rebuild, but it's also, as Lowry's exit shows you, they're not in a position, it doesn't look like at least, that, this year they're going to be in that conversation for a championship.
Yeah, there's a couple of things the Raptors have an exclusive on that you don't see regularly in any league. You're confident that they can develop people, which is a nice thing to be able to do. That doesn't happen much in the NBA. It's a top-heavy league. That happens in other leagues. And you're also confident in their personnel decisions, which is really great to have a team where whatever the front office decides, instead of the criticism or second-guessing, you go, well, it's worked out for them before. I can't recall one player call that under the Masai Ujiri regime where you went, no, that was a bad move. I couldn't name you one.
Well, and then you wonder, is that why they hedged at the trade deadline with Lowry? Did they, did they not want to make the wrong decision and have that play out in a way that did not maybe reflect what they've done in the past, which, as you say, has been smart moves. And they've made tough decisions, too, making the trade for DeMar and, getting rid of Dwayne Casey and after a great season. Yes, you ran into LeBron James a few times in the postseason, but at the same time, the hard decisions the Raptors have always made and the direction that they've gone, you get the buy-in when your choices have led to proper outcomes in the past. It's the buy-in is tough if there's another Toronto team that we talk about a lot. The buy-in is tougher when the decisions aren't leading you where you want to go. And as a player, you see that, or as a fan, you see that, you're making decisions, but your decisions aren't leading you where you want to go. But for the Raptors, yes, they can develop talent because they have. Yes, they can attract talent because they have. They're not afraid to do what they have to do to get the right personnel in. So that's where I think as a player, especially, you can feel confident that maybe it won't be this year, but we're not in a full-on rebuild that's going to take however many more years before we're contenders again.
Yeah, I think, you know, when we analyze the Raptors, you go, I don't know how they're going to do it, but I know they're going to do it. So that's
the potential's always there.
Yeah. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline is Joe Bowen. Mr. Bowen, are you poolside?
No, actually, James, I've been playing a lot of golf and looking forward to the social event of the summer coming up very shortly.
Well, Joe, what have you thought of what the Leafs have been up to this offseason so far? What's your reaction to some of their additions here?
Kristen, I think kind of both, I suppose, expected because of what they have decided to do with the core. And to some extent, a little bit disappointed, I suppose. I mean, I would love to have had Nick Foligno here for a full season. Rental players and trades at the deadline can be really, really good, or they can all of a sudden kind of blow up in your face. And he was never healthy enough to be the factor that I think that everybody felt that he would be. But when you don't have enough money in the in the bank in order to sign players, well, I guess they have enough money, they just aren't allowed to use it. You have to go around and do things differently. And Kyle Dubas has had to kind of go around and try to fill in some holes with people that aren't 1 and 1A as far as the free agent list. So Nick Ritchie, David Kampf, obviously the goaltender and Peter Mrazek, I think are solid signings, and it'll be interesting to see how they fit into the dynamic of what is expected of them. I think Kampf is going to be looked at as a try to become a real good checking center, and maybe this is an idea that they're going to actually put together a line that is entrusted with shutting down the opponent's top threesome. I love Peter Mrazek. I think he's an excellent goaltender. Jim Bedard, who was a dear friend of mine from my days of traveling with the Sudbury Wolves when he was the long-time goalie coach for the Detroit Red Wings, just used to rave about Mrazek when he first started to come into the league. So I'm looking forward to him and Campbell being a good duo. But the bottom line is just the big boys have got to be the big boys, and they have to perform as well as they did in the regular season last year, and they have to perform a lot better in the first round of the playoffs.
Bonesy, as you watched Montreal advance into the Stanley Cup final, did you alter how you thought about the Leafs and their elimination, or would you have the same opinion?
No, Jimmy, I mean, the game's a wonderful game. And I often said, and Harry Neal's line about this game is a lot more fun if you don't know what everybody makes. Well, the bottom line was is the Montreal Canadiens caught a little bit of lightning in the jar. I mean, what happens if Galchenyuk doesn't cock the puck up and it's a 2-on-0 for the winning goal in Game 5? Well, then the whole dynamic and the whole equation becomes completely different. But they all, from that point on, they all got on the rope and pulled together. I don't think anybody thought the Montreal Canadiens were going to the Stanley Cup Final when they were down 3-1, but that's the great thing about this league is that there are tremendous players in it. They don't all have to be making the big-time salary. And if they decide that they're going to play better defense than your top offensive players and don't allow them to have the room, then all of a sudden lots of funny things can happen. And the Canadians caught lightning in a jar, and they all pulled on the rope at the same time and caught enough breaks, certainly in overtime they did, and went to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Well, Joe, what was your reaction to Zach Hyman moving on from this team, and how difficult will it be for the Leafs to move on themselves and to not replace what he does, because you can't with anyone they currently have to the same degree, but just to evolve past Zach Hyman and continue to, to try and stay on course?
You know, Kristen, we fall in love with players here in Toronto for various reasons, and Zach's reason was that he put out every shift. He worked real hard. I mean, he wasn't the greatest offensive talent, although he was getting better. But the amount of money that the Edmonton Oilers were ready to throw at him and for the length of the contract, I couldn't see it happening in Toronto. Not unless a bunch of the core players that they have built on, at least one of them had to be dealt. And then sign me up and find out which one of those guys is on the list at the bottom of that list that would have been dealt. So, yes, they will have to find somebody. Nick Ritchie will be a bigger body, and he'll be probably a lot more nasty than Jack Hyman was. Will he be as effective? Hard to say. We'll wait and see. But where the Leafs were as far as Hyman and where Edmonton really decided to go overboard was interesting. I thought that's an awful lot of money to pay for a player that's not going to be in the top, 20 in scoring, maybe in the National Hockey League. It'll be interesting to see what happens. But he may change my thoughts on that. But at that particular point, the Leafs' hands were handcuffed. They had no way of going anywhere with it unless they decided to trade one of the big six that they have.
You know, Bonesy, I kind of like this, what they've done. Obviously you'd like Zach to stay, but that didn't happen. But, there's an audition, an open audition on the left side. There's some audition on the third and fourth lines, and maybe that's sort of a way to reconfigure things and see and find different elements. Because I think everybody last year was looking for the one guy to walk through the door that would deliver a Stanley Cup. Well, it's not one guy, it's 20. So, I mean, this sort of forces people to reexamine their own games, too, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And I've been talking to people off the ledge after all of this, too. And you hearken back to the Boston Bruins in the infancy of Marchand and Bergeron. And they blew a 3-0 lead to the Philadelphia Flyers and then were taught and hopefully learned mental toughness. And that's something that has to be acquired. And the only way you acquire that is by going through disappointment. And most teams that go on to any success have gone through some bitter disappointment. And the Tampa Bay Lightning are no different. They've gone back-to-back in Stanley Cup after a horrific dismissal at the hands of the Columbus Blue Jackets. So for everyone to be, so upset and go blow it up, do this, tear this apart, you have to understand that you got to go through this. And it's not fun. It's not pleasant. No one likes it. And you hope that the players are the one that like it the least because they have to learn this mental toughness to go through. And any changes that this management team decides to make between now and next year's postseason will be very interesting, but we'll all have to have that kind of approach to it when they get into the postseason.
Well, what about this team defensively? I mean, you lose Zach Bogosian, you've still got Travis Dermott, you've got Justin Hall, you have the young players in Sandin and Liljegren. When you think about what adjustments are they going to have to make on that back end in order to, a little bit replace what Bogosian brings, and then also to give Sandin and Liljegren, it kind of feels to me like this is a little bit of okay, let's do or die with these young players. Let's find out what we've got in them. Let's give them the chance. Do you feel similarly that this is kind of the time to figure out where they might fit in the picture?
Well, historically, I think, Kristen, anybody that plays defense in the National Hockey League is not going to do it well, defensively at least, in his first or second or third year as they learn the position. Now, they have had the opportunity to not rush Sandin and Liljegren into the mix. They have certainly bided their time and certainly have done well at the American Hockey League level. So it is time that one or both of them are able to, step in. I think they also need to find someone with the kind of tenacity and physicality of Zach Bogosian, whether that's at the beginning of the year or at the trade deadline. But I think that you have to go. I mean, both of these kids were first-round draft picks, and they really haven't been given an opportunity yet to demonstrate why they were picked that high, I think, as far as the length of tenure with the Maple Leafs at the NHL level. So let's see what happens. I think that's something that will be obviously one of the sidebar stories to the entire effort. And obviously the goaltending is going to have to be very good in behind them. But one of the other aspects of it is this team did very well last year, improved defensively by a long shot, and they're going to have to continue that trend. And that's not just the defenseman, that's the forward complement and the goaltending.
Yeah, and especially for Leaf fans, when the team exits, albeit in the first round, there's that massive analysis that happens where you want everything changed, and you know you can't do that. But you think back to Montreal and the flawless penalty kill. I mean, if one of the two special teams on the Leafs or if one other element of the team could operate with that kind of efficiency, you could go back and edit all the other games and come up with a different outcome.
If ifs and buts were candies and nuts, we'd all have a very Merry Christmas.
I hope you registered that.
But I heard another. Well, never mind. But you're right. And that's what makes this sport so great. It really is. And there are a lot of variables. There's a lot of different things that get involved. Attitude and atmosphere in a dressing room is, by all means, I think, the most important aspect of any team in the NHL. And again, I go back to the fact that all of these players are very, very good hockey players. And when they all get on the same page and you get that attitude and atmosphere going, a lot of very important things come about. Now, all of this comes with experience, too. And so now this core group is obviously in a position where it's no longer viewed as a young, growing bunch of young kids. It is hardened NHL players. And they're going to have to develop and produce and nurture that atmosphere and attitude in the dressing room so that everyone is on the same page. And that's an important aspect of those young people. Marner and Matthews and Nylander have got to be there. John Tavares, obviously, is one that's going to be a veteran leader, and so is Morgan Riley. But those are the things that have to happen here, and it has to happen fairly quickly because I don't know if another disappointment down the road would allow this group to stay together.
So then, Joe, do you believe or not believe that the Leafs are going to be perhaps as bad compared to their division rivals this season as is being predicted? I mean, you hear pundits say they'll be fourth or fifth in the division. What do you think?
I don't believe in that at all, Kristen, to be honest with you. I mean, everybody said, oh, the Canadian division was no good. Well, maybe it was. We had a team that went to the damn Stanley Cup final. So, I mean, again, it will be a competitive division. And the difference between first and fifth may not be an awful lot of points. I don't think anybody's going to be allowed to run away with it, regardless of having the Stanley Cup champion in the division. But I think it'll be a real good test. And it'll be a day-in and day-out grind for anyone in this division in order to make sure that you get into the postseason. So I think it's going to be very competitive, but I think the Maple Leafs still have a great deal of talent there and can certainly, if not win the division, be in the conversation for slots 2 and 3 anyway.
Joe, as you described the games in the Montreal series, tell us the difference from William Nylander this year to previous years, and do you think that Marner and Matthews will follow suit?
Well, Willie had a good postseason. There's no question about that. And I think one of the things that we saw in Willie throughout the postseason and even in the season, he was more engaged. He was more engaged physically. He was more engaged in puck pursuit and recovery. And I think that was something that was, you know, very much on display during the postseason. I think that, you know, I mean, Austin Matthews could have scored, what, 3-4 more goals in that series with Montreal with goalposts and chances that he had? You don't get as many chances in the postseason. You just don't. But had he, all of this narrative is completely different. So I think that Marner will be fine. I think if you're talking about two guys that are on the All-Star team, for crying out loud, and these are being picked by people not just in Toronto by any stretch of the imagination, but league-wide. So sometimes you have to go and talk to people in other organizations and say, what do you think of so-and-so? And guess what? Their opinion sometimes is quite a bit different and somewhat refreshing, I might add, too.